At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm
the other Mark.
3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
A fuzzy navel, please.
Cheers. Offer to Mova.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Rob.
How are you doing? All right.
I'm good. Are you?
Yeah, all right. Fair to middling.
Fair to middling.
Yeah.
How's your arm?
Yeah, saggy.
like you're a little bit disconnected.
Yeah, it's a little bit disconnected.
Ooh, I tell you what, flapping. You can see bruising.
Yeah, it's all coming out now.
Yeah, you're right. So it is a bit flabby.
Snap the ligament that holds the bicep to the ball.
Ooh.
And so I've got to have it operated on. So yeah, I'm a bit, you know, a bit nervous, understandably.
What I would do is I'd write on your arm, this arm.
Just in case. Yeah.
Come out with the other one looking like Popeye or something.
Well, this one does. Look at it.
Crazy, that.
Is it just a
day operation thing in and out?
Yeah, by all accounts, looking online, they reckon it's only an hour, the op.
Oh, really?
Is it like a walk-in and walk-out type op thing?
You're going to general anaesthetic, so I won't imagine you're walking straight out.
You know,
a little bit of a recovery thing, but yeah.
You're at wars, aren't you? You sound like you're sniffling a little bit.
I know.
As well.
You just can't. Kids are back at school, aren't they? You know what it's like? It's like a breeding ground for bloody bugs and germs and snots and sniffles and shit.
I know. I went well other day last week.
Yeah, you've been badly, haven't you?
I will, yeah.
And with COVID or just...
Look, I don't know. I don't know whether it was COVID. I've got tests in cupboard from before. And I looked at them and I thought, oh, shall I test? And I thought, why?
Yeah,
I'm not very well. End of story. Yeah. I got in bed.
Yeah,
you know.
I love it when I had COVID and you like all banish me, and like you guys have all been poorly. His arm's dropping off. You've had COVID. He's been ill. Oh, we'll all come in and record together.
Yeah,
me, I'm in COVID jail.
I'm not going to a festival though.
in a few days.
So
yeah, true. Well, different. Okay. Yeah.
What have you been up to, Mark?
The weekend I went to the York races.
Oh,
so that were good.
Oh, where's my invite? Our invite?
Well, it went for me to invite you because I went with my brother's football team, local team, if you will. I say local team as if they play locally, they just play within the group type thing. So it wasn't for me to sort of invite you, sort of thing.
Did you fit in well there talking football?
Well, exactly. I mean, I don't know anything about football, but we don't talk about football, then, you know. So I don't know why I'd go along, really.
Be a good day?
What I mean by that is because I don't play football with them. Well, it rained.
Mm-hmm.
So
of course.
And it was bloody cold.
Did you get drunk?
For me, I got drunk. Yes. Yeah.
What do you mean for you?
Well, because I don't. I only take about 3 pints and I'm drunk. Not like you, Mark. where you need like 33 pints to go. I'm on the way.
No, he doesn't.
No, you're getting that all wrong.
All right, well, maybe 30 then.
So did you win anything?
Well, we had a kite, so we won. We won the second race because I think. Well, we went in pairs, so my son went Ethan, and he was paired up with Wayo, which is obviously not his name. That's his nickname, by the way.
Wayo.
Yeah, exactly. So he was paired up with them, and they picked out. No, something I can't even remember what name were, but they picked it out, and they won 70 quid on it. So
did they?
Yeah. So yeah, that's the only race we won though.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, we didn't win the only. I didn't win my race.
So why York races? I know, because normally you go to St Ledger, don't you, in Doncaster?
We do. Well, my brother won't like me saying this, but we used to go to St Ledger, but it used to clash with his holidays for his year, because he has loads of holidays. So he does say there's another reason, but I think all the other lads say, no, it's because it clashed with his holidays. So we moved it to, well, I said we, I weren't involved in the decision, they just tell me. So they moved it to the York one. Which is it not the Ebor, is it?
No, it's not
Ebor. No, it's not the Ebor. That's another time, isn't it?
It is. Ebor was about 6-7 weeks before that, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know what this one was then.
It's just the end of season.
End of term.
Yeah.
End of term. Yeah.
Do you know,
end of season.
I've only ever been to Horses once.
Same here.
Which one?
Doncaster.
Doncaster.
Yeah, Donny. Yeah. Did they have an act on Mark afterwards? Like they do at Donny?
Well, if they did, I didn't see him. Oh. I don't think they do it
that drunk.
Yeah, he'd had three pints.
We'd left because there were only seven horses. Seven horses. There was a seven. here we go again.
And they got trainers on.
One of them got an OBE. I'm not going there again. No, there were only seven races. So after last race, and it were raining. So you imagine, you've not been to York. No. What about you, Kurt?
No, I haven't been to York.
Okay. So I've got to describe it. Here we go. So York Races is quite, it's a beautiful race course and it's laid out, there's a lot of outside bits to it. So of course with rain, everybody's scuttling undercover.
I'm lying, yes? I have been to York Races.
Oh.
Sorry, go on.
Okay,
yes,
so you know the layout a little bit.
Yes,
there's
a lot of
outside.
I've just realised I've actually been to the York race course.
Hang on a minute.
How are modelling?
When you said York, nothing, I thought you meant New York. Horses. I've actually been to... I haven't.
So you were modelling on a horse?
I was doing a wedding show.
I couldn't imagine you with a saddle on.
Back in the day when I used to, you know, be good looking. I used to do a bit of modelling, and I did a wedding show there. So yeah, right. That's where I'll be.
Rob were there eating carrots.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Stood in the Berry Trainers with an OBE.
Yeah. So you have been, but not to a race meeting, as they call it. Oh, yeah. Right, okay, right. Where were I? Well, you've lost me.
A lot of outside space in this
three pints deep and face first in the
kebab. That's right. So because of that, loads of people sit outside. But of course, because of the rain, everybody's then scuttling underneath all covers and stuff. And so it got really busy. So after the last race, we were like, right, we're off. Because we got a curry booked in at a curry house. Yeah. It's a chip shop. Yeah. So we had to scuttle off for that. So off we went and just curry. And then we got...
What curry did you have? I can't remember.
No, I always, it's all default curry, chicken tikka masala.
Oh.
That's my default one.
Why do they put, you know when they have chicken tikka masala, they always there's always an egg with it, isn't there?
An egg?
An egg?
Yeah. What?
Yeah. But takeaway wise.
Oh, yeah.
What?
All right.
I've
never ordered a chicken tikka masala in a restaurant.
Yeah,
so
it's been a long time since I've had a chicken, but every time I've had a chicken tikka masala, it always just come with an egg. A boiled egg.
In a takeaway or in a restaurant?
Both.
I've never experienced
that.
I've experienced it
in a takeaway. I know exactly what you mean in a takeaway. I've never, like I say, I ain't experienced it in a restaurant, but I wouldn't order a chicken tikka masala in a restaurant. So.
Wow.
So you didn't get an egg?
No.
Oh, you need to ring.
Well, if I got one, I'd go, what the bloody hell's this? What's going on?
TripAdvisor review. Where's my egg?
I've never heard that. I'm not saying.
I must admit, I've not either.
Well, right.
I'm not saying it's not a thing, but I've never had one and I've had loads of curries.
I mean, obviously, I'm not a foodie, am I? And, you know.
No, but you are right, though. You are right. A lot of time it would come with an egg. Mm. Absolutely.
So you said you only won one race?
As in the group kit.
Yeah.
Everybody were having their own sort of little side bets on and stuff, you know what I mean, if you wanted to.
Are you quite a lucky person, though? Do you think that when you normally go to things like that, do you tend to find you win much?
No, I won't say I'm lucky. I won't say I'm unlucky. Because you know when people win stuff, what's the first thing they always say? Never won anything in my life.
Yeah.
And they've probably won loads of things, but everybody says that. I've never won anything in my life. I don't think I'm lucky or unlucky, but...
I'm unlucky.
You know. Oh, here we go. Really?
I am. When it comes to bets and stuff like that, you can bet your bottom dollar that if I bet on the absolute dead cert favourite, it would end up coming in second.
Yeah, it'd come in last for me.
Yeah, no matter what I bet on, whatever it is, because I've been to dog track quite a lot, I enjoy dog. Although I do enjoy the horses more, I think, you know, but I haven't been as often. But the dog track I've been to quite a few times.
See, and I've only been to horses once, but I think I enjoy dogs more.
Oh dear,
a bit faster paced and a bit more.
I know what you mean. I mean, I've only been to Doncaster like you, and you like struggling for a view, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you can go up at grandstand and stuff, but you like mixing with everybody and whatever else.
Yeah.
You can only see so much of it.
Yeah, and then the horse is bolted and you're like, oh, that's great. Yeah.
Whereas at least with dogs, you don't know what you're going to see. You might see somebody running around dog trap dressed up.
Yeah.
Really? I'm looking at Mark here. Is there a story?
We're only dressed for half... Well, it was about a quarter lap I did. And half of that quarter, I was dressed.
How did you end up?
Yeah, how did you get past security? What happened
Why
here?
Do you have to tell this story?
Because I've never heard it.
Know. a place where I used to work, and there were loads of us. There must have been, I don't know, 30 or 40 of us. We've got a couple of these, you know, them box rooms that they have.
Mm-hmm. With
beer inside and everything else. And our known, or was then, known for, hey, Mark will do it. You know what I mean? So, last race had finished. Go on then, Mark. And I'd rocked up dressed as Beetlejuice. Well, not dressed. I got a Beetlejuice suit. Blue, black and white stripes, top and bottom.
You know, we've all got one of them in us.
Can I just ask you a question, Mark? Were they just you dressed up, nobody else?
Yeah, just me.
My gosh.
So, anyway, okay. So, it literally...
Were everyone else meant to get dressed up?
No.
Oh, so you just rocked up as Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
For no reason whatsoever?
Just because you wanted to?
Yeah. And anyway, so literally, eyes just turned to me, and obviously everyone had been talking, and they went, go on then, Mark.
They went, Beetlejuice.
Yeah. I was like, what? He went, you're going to do a lap? Really? Go on. And they all started cheering. And then obviously, they were all cheering, so I was like,
you've got to oblige.
This is
going to
be fun. Bearing in mind, we were upstairs, so I dangled off at balcony.
This is at Hillsborough, sorry. This is at Ollerton Stadium, yeah.
I'm not going to say this was a good thing, by the way, at Ollerton. Anyway.
So
I dangled off at balcony, dropped off, and then set off running. And I'll tell you what, I just need to let you know, you do not realise how deep that sand is. Honestly, it's about 6 or 8 inches deep, that sand. It's not like, it's not just like running on a little bit of sand. You're like, so you can't really get much pace. Anyway, so I set off, and everyone were cheering. Then all the other people came out of their boxes. They all started cheering. So I was like, this is fantastic. And obviously, it was quite late at night, and I had a few pints. And then everyone's... So I thought, well, sod it. And then...
Sod it? What happened? Why is there more?
I clothed off.
Oh!
This is the only way to keep that excitement going, and that's to escalate it, isn't it?
Good job it's not a photo finish.
Anyway, I went like David Hasselhoff running around a racetrack, it's sand.
I'm more like a Biafran. Anyway, I were running down back straight, and I just got to the corner to turn in towards where club, the actual and main bar is.
And there was somebody behind you, and you I just got competition.
Saw, no, I just saw what looked like an army of dark clothed people running towards me. And they were all security. Uh-huh. There were loads of them.
Oh, were they naked?
No, they were all wearing dark clothes. And I was like, oh no. Obviously, I said other words. And I turned, and I was like, trying to slow down. Then I was turning round, trying to pull my trousers back up. And so I was legging it down this street. All these security shouting at me, chasing me back up this dog track. And I saw a gap in fence to the left, and I thought, right, if I get through there, I'm away. So I broke through, I didn't break through, but there were gapping fence. So I ran through this gapping fence, and there were some metal stairs that took up to the back of the boxes so I could get back in. I thought, this is a winner, this. So I shot through this gap in this fence, and there were more security. They were just stood at the bottom of the stairs waiting for me. And I was like, oh, no. So like, I put my head in my hands, and I walked towards them, and I said, I'm really sorry, I've been bad, aren't I? And he swore at me and told me to get upstairs in
so they did throw you out there.
I went upstairs across the like a corridor thing, yep, into the room that we were in, and then literally all the people that were there with us surrounded me, and they were like, one of them took my glasses off, they were swapping my t-shirt and my jacket, and everyone was swapping clothes with me, so like, because obviously all security were coming up. And so they all come walking in, and this big bald guy come walking, the like main security guy, where is he? And they were all stood circling me, and swapped all clothes, so he couldn't recognise me. Yep. So I were like sat hiding, and I were like, what are we going to do here? Anyway, about 10 minutes passed, and he went on bar inside this box, and I thought, I've got to go and talk to him, because it's just not, no one's going to...
Was he waiting for...
Yeah, he just stood waiting. He knew that I was there somewhere, so he was just stood there, just biding his time.
And how many were there in this private box, by the way?
There were two boxes, so there would have been probably 30 or 40 people. Okay. Right. A good number. Anyway, so I went over to him and I said, look, I'm really sorry. And do you know what? He were a big guy, and I thought, I'm going to get my head filled in here. But, you know, I got a complete. And he were actually really nice.
Right.
Yeah, gave me a lesson in horse racing. Told me, he said, look, and he explained the reason why you're not supposed to run around the track.
And next time you're running sand, pick your knees up.
You're the third fastest person to have done that this year. But no, he were really good. And he just said, look, enjoy yourself, but don't be a...
Yeah.
You know. And so, yeah, I got away lightly with that. But, yeah, so that... I don't do that anymore.
I'm glad.
Yeah, grown up a little bit.
Yeah.
When were this? A couple of weeks ago?
Oh, no, this is this will be 12, 13 years ago, I reckon. Mm. Might be a little bit longer, actually. I forget how quick time's going, but... Have you ever been to Dogs, Mark?
Yeah, but a few times. I love it. It's great.
Do you ever win out at Dogs?
Yeah, I've won a few times, yeah. Yeah.
I've actually won a couple at Dogs, but I think I'm a bit like you, Kirk. I don't tend to find that I win much.
Do you put big money on it? Like £2?
Oh, I'm little. Yeah, £2. Pence, yeah, because I know I'm not going to win.
I can't do it.
So that's even worse because you know you're not going to win, or you've got this attitude that you're never going to win, and you still put big bets on.
I know. And I'll always put, I won't bet unless I have this warp thing in my head where there's no point in betting on something unless it's worth winning. So, like, I won't play lottery unless it's above 60, 70 million.
because 30 million is just a waste of time.
Yeah. It's not worth the time. But honestly, I'll always remember, I remember having a conversation with your Uncle Dean. Yeah. And because he likes to dabble on horses and stuff. And he said, I was saying the same thing to him about I only bet when it's worth winning. And he says, I've never heard anything so stupid in my life. He says, if you bet on something, even if it's 2-1, you're doubling your money. He's like, so why would you not just bet on the favourite and double your money?
Yeah.
Why go for... He says, if you could double your money on every single bet, you'd never have to work again in your life.
Favourites are very rarely double your money, are they?
Well, this is the thing. I think what he was getting at, I wouldn't bet. I wouldn't... If I went to horses or dogs or whatever, I would not put a bet on 2-1. No way.
Right.
No way.
Because you think that's a waste of time, doubling your money.
Because I think it's all right if you've got like 10 grand to put on.
Yeah, okay.
You know, put 10 grand on, chance of winning 10 grand, you know, it's a lot of money. But although I don't play the 50 pences or whatever, but I will pay a tenner.
Yeah.
And then I think, well, you risk a tenner to what? Just win another tenner. It just doesn't.
Yeah, but then you can put 20 on your next one.
Well, no, absolutely. You are right. You are right in that. I'm not going to sit and try and defend. Mm. I know that my mindset is warped.
Yeah.
But I like that thing of, do you know what? I've put a tenner on and I might win 400 quid here.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's where I get that.
So
you
that were betting on me.
Yeah, I won, mate, because I bet that you take your clothes off. So
it's when people do them like forecasts and tricast things, isn't it?
That's what I do. When I go to dogs, that's what I do.
Gets your odds up, innit?
Yeah, I do like a reverse forecast or
that's
or
what
whatever.
I do. Not that I really understand it, but I do it.
Yeah, when you go to like a bus conductor man who comes around with ticket machine, do they still do that? They come around with a portable machine when you're in. But that's only if you're in boxers. They come up with those little machines, don't, like a bus conductor.
Do they?
And you go, oh yes, I want to. 2-4-6 reverse tricast. You know, like you're some betting connoisseur and you've never done it before.
I'm one of them that walks up and goes, what am I meant to do? I want to put
Just
a bet
tell
on.
Me again.
Yeah.
What's the rules?
What do you want? I don't know what I want, really. Just tell me what the best thing to do is.
People like you.
I've got a pound,
and I want to win seven.
Because what they want to say is, you know that book you got given for free when you walked in?
Yeah.
Look on page one, explains it to you.
Yeah, very, very true. Do you find that you do any other, like, do you bet on it? No, not necessarily bet. Do you anything else where you have a stand a chance of winning something? You know, like, I don't know, do you ever, when you go to somewhere where there's a raffle, do you just do the raffle? Because wherever I go and someone says, there's a raffle, I go, got to play the raffle.
Always have a go at raffle. Same as when you go to local sports thing, rugby, football, you know, football card. You've got to have a go, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I never win.
Well, talking about raffles, though, as you know, our DJ, Mark might fall into this category. If I'm doing like charity discos for companies or company do's at Christmas, they've got raffles and sometimes they'll ask me, they'll go, do you want to, you know, and I don't want to feel bad. So I'll go, well, okay, yeah, I might have a pound or whatever because, you know, I don't want to come across rude. But then the problem is if then usually get me to do the raffle, which again is fine. But I feel bad
if
I...
You spend 10 minutes looking for your own ticket in the bowl.
Well, no, I wasn't going to say that. But I feel bad if I pull my number out or even if somebody else does. But then I always end up throwing the, it's so fine, put it back in. What? So I'm like, I'm just giving free money away here.
Well, it's funny you should say that because I did, what I used to do for staff at work at Christmas is we used to have a Christmas do. And we got an element of amount of money per person that we can spend on getting the staff a present or something for Christmas. Mm. But instead of doing that, because it was maybe only 25 quid each or whatever, what I used to do is I used to pull all that money from, you know, and buy raffle prizes. And then at the Christmas party, they would buy raffle tickets. And then the money would also be one of the prizes.
Right.
Yeah, so it wasn't making anything off it or anything like that. But because, obviously, you know, 25 quid times maybe 60, 70 staff, it adds up. So we could get some decent prizes. Mm. So people used to love it. People would much prefer playing along with that and getting the chance to win
a
16-inch TV or whatever than receiving a box of chocolates and a £10 voucher, do you know what I mean, as a present. So people used to love it. But one year, I'll always remember that I was stood there and the DJ come up to me. No, in fact, it was some member of staff came up to me and said, DJ wants to know whether he can buy some tickets. Now, it was
a, was it me?
No. No.
It weren't me.
No. DJ wants to know whether he can buy some tickets. And I said, and the thing is, he was a resident DJ. He was there week in, week out. He knew everybody, knew all the staff. He was doing the gig for nothing. You know, it was like, yeah, fine. Yeah, not a problem at all. And Ruth, who was my PA at the time, she come up to me and she went, have you let DJ buy some tickets? Well, yeah, it don't matter, does it? I says, at the end of the day, he throws more money at Kitty. He won first prize.
Right. Oh.
Yeah, £500 holiday voucher.
You see the difference there? It sounds like he asked, can I buy some tickets? I'm not asking, I'm not putting myself out there. In fact, I hate it when they come up and ask me, but... And, you know, if they do, I'm like, I don't really want to, but I do because I don't want to come across.
You wouldn't have been putting that back in, though, would you?
Probably, because that bizarre, like, you can get away with like a £5, some chocolates, but a TV, I'd feel even worse. I'd be like, oh no, throw it back in.
I always find the mood sort of not drops so much, but you know, like I say, you go to a football game or a rugby game, local kids or whatever, and they have a raffle and everyone buys tickets and whatever, and then you seat table and there might be, I don't know, half a dozen prizes, three or four bottles of wine, a bottle of gin, and then some candles and whatever else. And you can almost feel tone like dropping when all... Right, first prize, and then what do you want? And then I'll have the gin, and then it goes down the wine, and then there's candles left, and then there's somebody stood there. You watch, I'll bloody win the candle. And lo and behold, it's usually Ellen. And she's like, bloody charming. I wanted a bottle of wine.
I'll always remember someone I used to work with. He used to have an ongoing joke. You'll remember this, Mark.
Yeah. Me?
Yes, you. So when he used to compare at night and compare events when there were a raffle, and he used to pull numbers out, and he'd go, yeah, you've won this, and oh, yeah, congratulations, you've won that. And then he'd get to a point where he'd pull a number out and go, right, pink, 263, you know, sort of thing. And then I'd go, oh, yeah, me. And he'd stand up and go, good, just let you know, if we had another prize, you'd have won it.
I've done that a few times.
Brilliant. Yeah, I like that.
Brilliant, that. Absolutely. It's always stuck in my head, that.
I don't even win raffles.
Oh, I don't. It were a lot on running joke at Slimming World. They used to do a raffle every week at Slimming World. Me and Mum were going to Slimming World for about 3 years. Never won.
No.
Never won.
It's worse now as well, because you've got all these ones on social media.
What you winning there? Apples and bananas and stuff?
Yeah, consultant would bring in something.
Not chocolate.
Yeah, not chocolate, like, no. Yeah.
Tray donuts.
Yeah. go on, Bob.
It's even worse now with the ones that are online. Have you seen them ones that are Facebook, Instagram, all over where but the prizes
it's like
are massive.
Nitrous, and it's like you can win this Mustang GT.
Yeah, when they're getting houses away.
Yeah, VW camper vans and, you know, really expensive things. And all right, it's a raffle ticket for it might be 10 quid or 20 quid entry, but the prizes you win are massive. Yeah. But they're all over the place now, aren't they? And I'm so tempted. Sometimes you go, oh, it's only 10 quid to enter, and I could win that.
Yeah.
But I know...
I've had a few goes on one called Storm DJs, and I still get the emails from them, because obviously once you sign up, you get all the
for life.
And you'll get like two or three choices if you win. You can have like the studio package, which is some studio monitors, a MacBook, and, you know, a MIDI controller and stuff, or you might get a couple of CDJs and a mixer and whatever. But they're like... Prizes worth 3 and 4 grand, you know.
Yeah. Well, look at when you can win a house.
Yeah.
You know, and these amazing houses.
$2 million
Win this house and Omis raffle.
What? You're right. I mean, what amazes me with that? When I first saw it, I thought
amazes you.
No pun intended. I'm like, oh great, this is a one-off thing. But then, like, week eight, you know, a couple of weeks later, when there's another house, and you're like, where is all this money coming from? Yeah. I mean, I know the tickets are not cheap. They're 10 quid or whatever.
I have a subscription.
But I'm like, really? Do you?
Yeah. Well, I don't actually. Actually, it's Daisy.
Daisy.
Yeah, we pay £25 a month into Omaze.
Really?
Have you won anything? Oh, no.
£5 voucher.
Okay. Got to beat it to win it.
Somebody's winning it.
That's what I like about raffles, you see. That's what
Random.
I like about raffles.
Yeah, there's no skill.
not just that. The thing is, with a lottery, nobody could win. Yeah, so you're up against the odds of the actual draw or whatever, hence why a lottery. But with a raffle, if you've got a ticket, you've got just as much chance...
As the next person.
As the next person.
Well, depending on how many they've got.
Yeah. But somebody's going to win it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's what I like about it. And you're right, Mark, you kind of think, my God, all this money, but look at the money that they're generating. It's like these, you know, cash giveaways on radio?
Yeah.
Like cash register or, you know, stuff like that on radio. You kind of sit there and you think, my God, they gave away 100 grand yesterday, they're giving away 150 grand today, they're giving away 200 grand tomorrow or whatever. But then you think, well, yeah, but if you've got a listener base of 6-7 million people, 8 million, 10 million people, you only need 1 million of them to enter, you know, at 5 quid a chuck, whatever it is, to enter or two. And before you know it, you've got 4 million quid.
It makes you wonder why anyone that's of any celebrity status don't sell the houses; they just raffle them. Yeah. Well, surely that's the thing.
There was a bit of a surge, wasn't there, in the housing market where people, when there was not necessarily struggling to sell them, they were like, right, do I put my house on the market? And I think somebody did. They were struggling a little bit, and they thought, well, sod it, I'll raffle it off, pound a ticket or whatever. But then you have it written in your T's and C's that if you don't achieve
a minimum
percentage of whatever, there'll be a cash prize alternative, which is the money that's gone in.
Yep.
So you're not necessarily losing it. And you actually get more for your house than you would do if you put it on the market.
I've seen that before.
You've got to have the following behind you to be able to have something that's going to go out to loads of people.
Like a podcast? Helen, we're off.
Because, if I tried selling my house, it'd be like, oh, brilliant, I've sold 100 tickets at £1, so I'm going to sell my house for 100 quid.
There are companies that do it. If you wanted to sell your house via raffle, there are companies that do it. But the problem is they want the reserve to be quite low. So they want the reserve to be low. They'll sit there and tell you that you'll easy break that. But
that's proper squeaky bum though. When you're just at the half the market value and you're like,
exactly. You're selling your house for £65,000 and you're like,
and then you've got the fact of they take their commission and stuff like that. But it is a good way of making money because, you know, imagine the amount of people that play the lottery, right? I'd much rather play, let's say someone came out with a raffle-based cash prize raffle sort of thing and went, well, we're only going to sell 1 million tickets at £2 and the prize is £1 million.
Mm.
Well, all of a sudden, you've got a 1 in 1 million chance.
Yeah.
When you kind of think, well, that's astronomical. Well, it's not compared to the lottery.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It's not compared to the lottery. You're only paying £2 for your entry or whatever and then before you know it, you know, you've got a better chance of winning £1 million.
You've lowered your standards in the last 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't. Yeah,
a million would do.
Very good point, Mark.
A million will do now,
Very I'm good growing point. Up, Mark. What can I say? I'm growing up.
Good point.
But, anyone beat at bingo?
Do you know what? Yeah, it's been a long time since I have. But I've only been once to an actual proper bingo hall. Like, when I used to work on cruise ships, I hosted bingo a couple of times. And I've probably played it going on a cruise or going, you know, somewhere. But I've only ever actually been to a bingo hall once and it was an eye-opener. It really was an eye-opener. But the speed at which they read the numbers out, I'm like, hold on a minute, and I've only got one ticket. And there's old dear next to me that's got four pairs of glasses on her face and she's got 19 cards and I'm like, how are you keeping up with this?
Yeah. Well, you do know it's harder to play one than it is. It's better to have six. Because you've got every number then.
Well, I suppose,
Because
they're literally like, the one's number 11, one 0, number 10,
You can't think of any numbers, can you?
No, I can't even think of them quick enough.
Who wants a 90? It's not hard.
And not only that, you've got them all going, oh, it looks 22, quack, quack. And you're like, my God, how's this? How are they doing this?
You know, they call that party bingo, don't you?
Oh, is that not normal bingo?
No, it's a different type of bingo.
Right.
So there is a traditional bingo, which is a lot slower pace because generally you're playing for bigger prizes. Right. But your party bingo, you can pay for hundreds. But yeah, and they do play that at pace.
Mark the connoisseur bingo player.
And you believe it or not, I've never actually been to a bingo hall and played bingo.
But you sound like you.
I used to be a main stage caller. So yeah, in a previous life, a long time ago, for Gala.
For Gala?
Yeah.
Oh, you did that? I thought you were taking the mickey.
What, you did? Is it a job?
Yeah.
Full time?
Full suit, Dickie Bow.
What, Monday afternoons, Tuesday mornings, all that?
Afternoons and evenings, yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
When were this? 2 weeks ago again?
Oh, no. More than 20 years ago.
Mm. So a lot more than 20 years ago.
About the same time you were doing races in your Beetlejuice.
And that was shortly after when I took up racing.
So tell us about it, Mark. What got you into it?
I can't remember what got me into it. I think I just saw the advert and I thought,
really?
like most of my life, something will pop up and I'll go, ooh, I fancy having a go at that.
I like balls.
You see something and you go, I fancy having a go at that. And I spent loads of my life just going, I want to have a go at that.
So how did you get the job?
I went and they said, right, I had a chat with him. Would you just do a quick audition? So I went on stage with microphone and they were like, when can you start?
Okay, so there must have been some numbers involved. Right, can you read us a couple of these numbers?
I'm going to say you'd be no good, Rob, because you couldn't think of numbers 2 minutes ago.
No, sorry, Mark, give us your bingo calling voice.
Yeah. It would just be normal voice.
Oh, go on, give us a go.
I'm a bit bunged up.
Do some numbers.
Well, you wouldn't do any of the fancy jargon.
Oh, you don't do the two little ducks, 22,
Not on the main bingo. No. Party bingo you could do, you know. But generally speaking, it's you know, quite traditional and it's, you know, all the ones 11 and that sort of thing. But it's a long time ago, so I'm trying to remember.
Come on, give us another one.
All the 8s, 88.
He's good, isn't he?
Very good.
He's very good.
What makes me laugh is when you go to it and they do like a live broadcast where it's from every other gala or every other one. Eurovision. We're national. Live from Sweden. Hello.
Yeah. Well, there have been big tournaments that I have called bingo for. So they have one called the National.
Yeah, the National,
And that one that every so often... certainly Sunday nights, and I think Thursday nights it was.
He's still got it.
It was something like that, and you played for larger money, and you linked up.
Yep.
And then there was a certain thing that happened aside of that, where if you won, you then got... I can't remember. There was a run-up to the actual main tournament, and you either won, and you won a chance to go to the main tournament, or you won... and you just got a ticket to the main tournament. And then, anyway, the main tournament was people from all the region came to that one club. So there were 800 people capacity at the one that I worked at. We had Stan Boardman, comedian. He did an afternoon.
Is he the German... The Germans. Yeah, that guy, yeah. Stan Boardman.
The F1. and that was scary because the main prize for that was, I think it was 100,000.
Oh, well, Kurt won't be bothered.
£100,000 back then were a lot of money.
It were huge.
And what was the pay like? Was it well paid or?
I don't think I was particularly well paid at the time. It'd have been better than minimum wage. Do you know what I mean? But it weren't manual labour. It was almost entertainment. So you were, don't get me wrong, you were going round and talking to people in your suit on an evening with your tray of pounds to sell. The interim games for the party games and stuff. I've got some real stories.
Old dears loved him.
I can imagine.
The straw that brought the camels back, there were one Saturday afternoon and me and Ellen had gone to town doing a bit of shopping and this old deer come flying towards me in a mobility scooter, you know, with the rain cover on. And she nearly knocked me off my feet and she shot past me and she literally unzipped side and she shouted at me. She went, "Shit your balls up!" I was like,
what?
Yeah, then that's what you used to, because you obviously people knew your face, didn't they? Because you were standing on stage in front of hundreds of people every afternoon and every evening.
And then they were like, who's that?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's just Marjorie. She plays four times a week. And they have their own seats. If anyone, dare come in and sit in somebody else's.
The dabbers, they've got the dabber pens, haven't they?
Well, yeah, and they were so. So many stories I could tell you.
Give us your best one.
What, best story? Probably the most awkward one is when. Oh, we're on stage and it was a Sunday night.
Did you get undressed or anything like that?
No. Okay. Used to do daft things, and you know.
We know.
So there were some people that used to sit inside at stage, and you got quite familiar with them. And so you'd be doing daft stuff behind, because you stood behind a box, and what is called the random number generator, the machine that you press to.
No balls then.
No balls actually. No, you just push a button and then.
Oh.
Anyway, so. I were on stage and it was a Sunday night, so really busy, hundreds of people. And I was stood there and I was calling numbers out, and it getting towards the house price, so it would have been for hundreds of pounds. I've already said that.
You might have, but might carry on, we'll roll with it.
And I just heard this, and I was like, so I stopped and I was like, a bit of a chuckle, carried on. We're like, whoa, what's that? And then, so obviously, I'm starting to, like, get bit. And then, obviously, you can see eyes turning towards you because you're hesitating a little bit. They can hear there's a change in your flow.
And your shoulders are digging.
Yeah, and started giggling. And then some really, like... and I'm like, whoa! So literally, then I started laughing. And then you could hear them, like, tutting around the room. Checking their heads and all that. And then I could just see there were two lasses who worked there. They were stood on... they got these, like, raised... You go upstairs up to these, like, bits at the back to upper seating areas, and they were, like, little boxes that people could sit in. And two lasses were stood in there with one at Bloke's, and they were stood looking at me, laughing, and Bloke were laughing, and they were, like, pointing at me. And they got this little... And I've not seen it. Behind me, there was, like, a little window into the changing room at the back. And they got a remote control fart machine, and they put it on the shelf behind me, and they were pressing it.
So they're cranking you.
And literally, and once that had stopped, I tried to carry on, but you know, because nerves had kicked in, because people had been tutting and being like disapproving of what had been going off. I'm a nervous laugher, so I can be in the worst situation. I could be in a funeral. I could be anywhere. If I get the nervous laughs, it's game over, and literally. That game went on for ages, and then they had to substitute me and bring one of the girls.
I realised
it, but yeah, because I would just irrecoverable. But yeah, there were some funny stories, but
and the big question: what made you leave? You went oh, a scuba diving. Yeah, I was doing that, and off you went.
Well, to be honest, it's antisocial, isn't it? Because you're working afternoon, and then you're working night. So it got to a point where I thought, do you know what? I've had my fill of this. I've had a laugh. I enjoyed it for. I don't know, 12 or 18 months that I did it for, and I thought, you know, onto something else now. Something else that, you know, might take me fancy, because that's all I've ever done, really.
Have any of you ever actually won a competition that you've actually competed in?
Ooh. When you say competed, what do you mean, like, physically?
Yeah. It doesn't have to necessarily be a physical competition, but something where you've had to do something to win, not just put a bet on or...
I'm guessing, Rob, were you saying that you have?
Well... Yeah, I have.
Okay,
he really has.
I'm not sure whether I dare say it.
It's certainly a leading question that I think he gave to me.
Is it the X Factor?
I can assure it wasn't a leading question because I'd rather not say it.
Well, no, yeah, but it annoys me that when you do this, because I know you're a little bit like, oh, I don't like saying it, but you should be proud of it. You should be very proud of it.
I know, but it's just a bit embarrassing.
Well, it shouldn't be.
Well, we might get to that, but
we might.
Have any of you entered into a competition?
Mine's quite a fickle one.
Go on.
I won it on Hallam FM, and it was one of them where you ring up, and they, I can't remember what the question was at the time. You rang up and you went live on radio, and if you got it right, you won a prize. And I won the Saint film on VHS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was Val Kilmer, the same.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking Roger Moore.
On VHS, and it came through post and everything.
Oh, I don't know.
So that's the only thing I can ever really remember when I've, like, entered something and actually won a prize and gone, ooh.
There was two versions of The Saint. There's The Saint with Val Kilmer, which was much later on.
Yeah, that's
but yeah,
like,
there was the original Saint. I don't think it was Roger Moore.
What am I thinking of then?
Well, it was definitely... It was a TV series, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But I don't know who played it.
Come on then, Rob.
Anyway, moving on.
Surely someone else has won something.
Come on, Rob. Why are you being so coy?
So before you start, Rob, I think I did win something in the Beano. Now, for most readers, they will not know what that is, but, well, at my age they will, but you know
what it is. Well, because their readers probably do. Listeners might.
Oh, listeners. So where have I got readers from?
I remember the Beano.
Yes. I won something in the Beano for sending a joke in, and I still remember what the joke is.
Oh, brilliant.
I won a magic set.
Just hang fire. What's the joke?
Let me tell you what I won first.
Okay.
Because I won a magic set, but I won a, like a, what's the name? Dennis the Menace badge.
Yeah.
Pimp badge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The joke was...
The
teacher said to me... Oh, let me think about this. I won't get it wrong.
Oh, dear.
It's not Little Johnny, is it?
No, it's not Little Johnny. Yeah, the teacher said to me... make a sentence with the word fascinate in it. So I said to the teacher, oh, I've got a coat with 10 buttons on, but I can only fascinate. And that was the joke, and I won a magic set.
Do you know what? That's very similar to the only joke that I can remember, but I definitely can't say it on the podcast.
No. Okay. Anyway, go on, Bob. What have you won? Here we go.
Well, so when I was younger, a lot younger, I think, if I remember right, I would have been 11. I don't think I was 10, I think I was 11. I was the British National Aerobic Champion.
Sorry? What was that?
The British National Aerobic Champion.
Is that a thing?
It was back then.
And is that where you stand in one of them plastic boxes and do star jumps?
Not quite a plastic box, no.
What do you call them?
Wristbands.
Wristbands.
Sweatbands.
Headband on, Rosemary Connolly.
Yeah, not far off. It was around about the era of Mr. Motivator. So it was aerobic sport was a much bigger thing. And my mum had competed for Great Britain in America, New Orleans. I can't remember where she placed. She wasn't in the top five, but she got there. She won the Europeans and went to America to compete.
Wow.
And then she ended up... I don't know how this came about. She had a problem with the hip afterwards and ended up in a bit of a wheelchair for a little while. She couldn't compete anymore. So she said, I'm going to enter you and your sister. So me and my sister ended up doing a mixed pairs, and we both did individuals as well, and we won. And then she decided to set up a squad, and we basically went round competing throughout the UK for about 4, maybe 5 years. And we were undefeated champions. We literally won every competition we went to. We won gold.
And your mum was mopping up. She's like, well, hey!
he never asked me to be in his squad.
No. Water boys.
So, let me just get this right. You didn't win an Olympic medal then? No?
No, we didn't win an Olympic medal.
Right, okay.
Do you know what?
So, no, seriously, well done, Rob.
We were actually meant, well done. We were meant to go to America to compete for Great Britain.
Wow.
And it was... The details are a bit sketchy, but what all I remember is I think it was going to be sponsored by Virgin, and then it all collapsed. Virgin pulled out, and it didn't end up happening. But it was all Reebok back in the day, so we got sponsored. Do you remember LA Gear?
Yeah.
We got sponsored by LA Gear, so I got loads of LA Gear
stuff.
Those
high-top boots.
Yeah. It's all I wore for about 3 years, LA Gear clothes, because that's all we got.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, you know, it was a good thing back in the day. As you said, I am proud of it, but it's just a bit, you know, I had to wear Lycra.
You loved it.
You probably still do.
Yeah.
I thought I ain't got any of the outfits.
I could just see you walking around warehouse like that, flexing.
But yeah, it's not something you really boast about these days, because people are like, aerobics? It was a bit like gymnastics. There's a big square, and then in that space you had to do compulsory moves, press-ups, sit-ups, what's called an 8-count combination and stuff. Yeah, it was good.
While we're talking about competitions, I think I mentioned it to you, Kurt, but you know the McDonald's Monopoly game?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right? Obviously, they have it in America as well. That's where it started. And when they first launched it, I think you know where I'm going with this, Kurt, don't you? When they first launched it, for the first 6, 7 years or something, not a genuine person, won it? McDonald's thought it were a genuine person.
Yes.
But it was all about... Oh, you know, you've seen the documentary.
Yeah,
have you seen it, Mark?
Yeah.
No. Documentary on Netflix.
I mean, if you've seen it, it's It's mind blowing.
Like to an extreme, of it was like the like a mafia run.
Mafia,
up,
yeah.
Like the mafia run it and like the, all, to scam McDonald's. Wow, it's massive, massive deal. It's a good, really good documentary.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you think you watch it, you're going, well, the, what? Yeah.
So McDonald's thought like genuine people were winning it.
Yeah, they
and
weren't.
It were a gang of people that were like scamming it.
Yeah, and it were very complex, and wow. It were mafia.
They had someone on the inside, didn't they?
They had someone inside.
To do with the printers
family,
and
yep.
You know stuff like. But the whole thing, and like Mark said, you know, it went on for years.
Years. Mm. McDonald's didn't know. And they were, and bearing in mind, we're not talking like a free burger and a 10 quid. We're talking millions of pounds.
Millions of pounds over the years.
And wow. When I watched the documentary, I was like, how's they getting away with this?
It's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah,
it's very interesting. I just remembered something. Do you know what, actually? Claim to fame.
Mm-hmm.
I competed
against...
You've
won a McDonald's?
I'm just going back to aerobics for a second.
He competed against Ronald McDonald in a sit-up contest in Lycra.
I actually competed against a guy called Kerry Hannan, who was a lot older than me at the time. You don't know him. And
I do.
Oh.
Go on, then.
What's his name again?
Kerry Hannan.
Oh, no, I don't know. No. I thought you said Barry.
No.
And Kerry Barry.
Kerry Hannan ended up being the founder of Fitness First.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there were no fitness before that?
Yeah. No. That was the first Fitness First.
Just going back to Omaze, mate, I've got a question for you. If you did win the house...
I think I know what you're going to ask, but
what would you do with it?
Well, interestingly, the one that we just had a go on was for the Yorkshire house.
Yeah, lovely.
Ellen wanted to move.
Oh,
if
really?
We'd have won that, she will art that, because that's our sort of ideology, I suppose. Farmhouse, bit of land in Yorkshire Dales or somewhere like that.
100 grand a year, they say, that it costs to run the house.
Oh, absolutely, it's ridiculous.
That's why they give you 100 grand as well. So they give you the house, and then they give you £100,000 with it, because they reckon that's the amount of money that you need
you
to run the house for a year.
Council tax bandits and everything else.
Yeah.
I said to Ellen, we won't be able to afford to live in it.
I'm going
to
say it's one of the things you think, well, you could rent it out, but then to get the rent for in a month to pay for that, it's a lot of rent.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I'd sell it. I'd sell it.
I mean, I'd probably go and stay in it for a few weeks.
That's what Daisy says. Daisy says she'd love to just go and
get
stay in it.
Get the luxury of it, yeah.
Experience
know,
it. But then
that's,
you
like, that's like naming a puppy.
Exactly.
Once you name the puppy, you're taking it home.
How do you walk away from it?
Yeah, but I suppose you've got a year, haven't you, to live in it?
Yeah.
Because if they give you 100 grand, you've got a year. You can get use out of it, enjoy it.
And after a year, it'd be probably worth more than that.
Yeah, there is that. But I'd sell it. I mean, some of these houses now you're talking, I think the last one that I really, really fell in love with, I think it was down somewhere down south on coast or something, and it was like 3.6 million, you know, this house. And don't get me wrong, it was stunning. It was absolutely stunning. You know, it really were. But in my head, this is where my sensible head would kick in, which are very unlike me. But I just see it as, well, sell that, use £1 million to buy 6 houses or whatever, rent them out, that's your income,
you
retire.
Yeah.
But use some of the money to buy your own house, if you like, which could still be a really nice house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? And sit and retire.
Doesn't need to be a mansion, does it?
Done.
That is very sensible, Kirk.
Yeah, sir.
You've got a little bit of a sensible edge somewhere in there.
Yeah, putting it into action once money's at his bank account is a different thing altogether.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know. Because I think about, you know, the lottery, the one that's set for life. £10,000 a month. I always think about that sometimes, on how long would I work for? Would I continue to work?
Yeah.
£10,000 a month, it's a lot of money, but is it retirement money? You know, sort of thing, you know, because fundamentally it's only, what is it, 3.6 million in total over the 30 years? Mm. You know, 3.6...
Only.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, imagine what £1 million's going to be like in 10 years' time, 20 years' time. It's already... Mm. You know, very much diluted, hasn't it, with inflation and stuff like
You'd
that.
You'd have a nice life either way, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mark, what's that box you've got? You've brought a box?
I'm wondering that, Rob. He's been sat there nursing a box.
This fake news game with Donald Trump.
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Well, it's because the election, obviously. We've had the... Well, not us, but America's had the election, haven't they?
All right,
So I thought I'd bring this little game in for us to play. Donald Trump. So I thought we'd play a little game.
We're
going to play a little game.
Oh, we love a game.
We love a game.
I'll tell you the rules in a minute once I've got a tangled glass.
I'll tell you the rules once I've read them.
No, I've got the cards. So basically, the little cards with quotes on them. Right? So all you've got to decide, it's a bit like Dead and Alive, but
that looks like a game you bought when JFK were president.
But
how old is that?
Well, I didn't... actually, I think it, my son got it for me. But anyway, so I'm going to read out some quotes by Donald. So they're all by Donald Trump.
Oh, right.
however, some are fake and some are true.
Right.
So I'm going to read them out and then you're just going to go, well, did he say that or did he not?
Right, okay.
Seems simple enough.
Oh, so it's whether he said it or not.
Yeah, is it true? Right. Is it true or is it fake news? Is
okay.
it?
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Ready. Well,
I've read a couple out, you'll get the gist. Let me just shuffle them up. Right. So let's read the first one then. So, I think the only difference between me and the other candidates is that I'm more honest, and my women are more beautiful. Did Donald Trump say that? Is that did he?
True.
I said true.
Yeah.
What's it say on there?
True. Ding. We should have Spandau Ballet playing in background, shouldn't we?
Another one. North Korea's nuclear weapons are smaller than mine. Is that something he said or is it fake?
I'm going fake.
I'm going true.
Fake news.
Bing, bing. Okay, next one. I think I would use social media as president better than possibly any of the 44 previous presidents.
True.
Oh, it's fake news.
My fingers are long and beautiful, as it has been well documented, are various other parts of my body.
True. You obviously know him better than I do, you two.
They're outrageous, aren't they, some of them? Obamacare was a complete waste of taxpayers' money and time.
True.
Fake news.
Just
some more?
Yeah.
Got a few more. I look very much forward to showing my financials because they are huge.
True.
Fake news.
True.
he always used to go on about how rich you were.
Yeah.
The beauty of me is that I'm very rich.
True.
I'd say true.
I'm going to say fake news again.
True. Another one. One of the key problems today is that politics is such a disgrace. Good people don't go into government.
Fake news.
True.
Oh.
I got one right.
I reckon I might have won.
I've got loads. Yeah. I could go on, but there's just a few of them. So.
I like that.
You like that?
I like that.
Oh, good. Yeah. I mean, there's another, like, I think another 60 cards here, but, you know.
Let's get another 4 years until next
election. Yeah, we'll do it again in 4 years' time.
Time at the bar, please.
And don't worry about that, because you know what's right here, don't you? A wheel of features.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I'm just so excited.
Go on.
He's nearly there.
The wheel of features.
So we've still got the one from last week. Oh, what the bloody hell is that?
Oh, yeah, still going, isn't it? Yep.
It is. Are you ready for the sound?
Yeah.
It goes like this. One more.
I think I've got another guess at this. Right. I think Mark might have said, is it a microwave button for a door when the door opens?
All right, Kirk.
I don't know if I've said that. Did you say that, Mark, last time?
No, I think I said it. Tape recorder or something.
Well, it's easy to say when you know what it is that you think you'd get it, but yeah. I genuinely do think I'd get this.
Well, you know what it is, don't
you?
I know,
and that's why it's easy to say, isn't it? Mark, or the Mark?
Play it again.
Ooh.
Piers.
No. I was thinking stapler. You know, slowly pressed.
Oh, yeah.
But no, it's not got the. It's not metallic enough, is it?
Yeah, it's too twangy.
Too plasticky.
Yeah.
Kirk?
I'm at a complete loss, mate.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to tell you the answer. I'm going to give you one more week and the listeners one more week. If you've got it, we want to know what it is.
Yes. Yeah.
So get in touch with us and tell us what you think it is, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Shall we spin the wheel?
Spin it.
Yes.
Come on.
What is it?
Hey!
It's mine! Rob Whoa. Riddle!
Oh,
yay!
Dear.
Oh, no. The only me's excited.
Yeah. So come on then, Rob. You gave me grief for not having a jingle. Where's your jingle for this? Yeah.
Do you know what? I could have swore I'd made a jingle for this.
Well,
where is it?
Go on then, play it.
I don't know.
You haven't sent it to me.
Come on.
Riddle me this.
Riddle me that. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Is that it?
No. I'll come up with something.
I've done two and you've done...
I know.
Yeah,
I don't think you've done any, have you?
I've done loads,
thank you very much. I'll get on with it. Right, so I'm going to give you a short one, a bit of an easy one, just to warm you up.
Okay.
Right. What question can you never honestly answer yes to? What question can you never honestly answer yes to?
I know this, so I'm not going to say it.
All right.
What is your name?
Well, unless your name's Yes.
Yeah, it's not that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Call him Mark if you know it.
Don't we want...
Will
you
no, this is warm.
Will
you
live
guys.
Forever?
Is it Are You Asleep?
Correct.
Oh, well done.
Thank you.
Yes, it is. Right, you ready for...
Have you got any more hard ones?
Do you want one more before I go into the long one?
Yeah, why not?
All right. What do you throw out when you want to use it, but take in when you don't want to use it? What do you throw out when you want to use it, but take in when you don't want to use it?
Oh.
I think I know this one.
I used to be really good at riddles, mate.
What do you throw out when you want to use it and take in
when you don't want to use it?
A hose pipe.
No.
Well, how are we going to say that? But is it a rope?
It's not, but you're not.
Go on, Mark, take it home.
Go on.
I don't know.
Do you want the answer?
Yeah.
An anchor.
Ah, okay.
Well, I think me and Kurt deserve half a point.
I think you're right.
Because
he said
hose pipe, I said rope.
It wasn't bad at all.
Because that's water based and mine's rope. So put them together, you've got an anchor.
Got an anchor.
Boom.
Okay. Here's your longer one. So
longer. Here's a longer one.
A California farmer owns a beautiful pear tree. He supplies the fruit to nearby grocery store. The store owner calls the farmer to see how much fruit is available for him to buy. The farmer knows the main trunk has 24 branches. Each branch has exactly 12 boughs, and each bough has exactly 6 twigs. Since each twig bears one piece of fruit, how many plums will the farmer be able to deliver?
Right. So are we giving you the answer to this, or are we letting...
Rob, I weren't listening. Say again. No, I'm joking.
I will read it one more for you, because I think it's... Yeah, I'll give you one more, and yeah, we'll do the answer.
All right. I know the answer.
Yeah. Oh. So I do as well.
So,
I'm confused.
A California farmer owns a beautiful pear tree.
What makes it beautiful?
And why is it California?
It's just very colourful.
Symmetrical.
Colourful.
Does it matter? Is California? Is it from Yorkshire?
Not really.
No. Okay. You need to get your calculator out and listen.
Yeah. A California farmer owns a beautiful pear tree. He supplies the fruit to a nearby grocery store. The store owner calls the farmer to see how much fruit is available for him to buy. The farmer knows the main trunk has 24 branches. Each branch has exactly 12 boughs, and each bough has exactly 6 twigs. Since each twig bears one piece of fruit, how many plums will the farmer be able to deliver?
6. I can't do these complicated ones. You two, obviously, you know answer, don't you?
Yeah,
you and Mark,
you
know
the answer. It's quite simple,
yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
Is it 6?
Give him the answer.
It's a misleading riddle. It's, yeah.
You weren't listening.
Yeah, I know I weren't listening. Well, because I'd answered those other two. My brain's dead.
What's the answer, Kirk?
No, I'll let Mark do it.
Well, the answer...
I don't know
there isn't actually a definitive... Because he might have got some plum trees.
Yeah.
But it's not mentioned in the riddle, is it?
No.
So based on that, it's none.
Yeah, because he says...
it's a pear tree.
Because he's got a lovely pear tree.
Pear tree.
Yeah.
Well, the answer's none.
It could be 6.
Exactly. So he's got a small plum tree that's only growing 6 plums.
So I'm right.
He's not interested in pears.
You're definitely not right. It's a pear tree, and it says how many plums can you get off it.
I weren't listening.
No, you definitely weren't listening.
Twice.
My brain was...
How many partridges can you supply?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been a pleasure. On that note,
see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye, bye, bye.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.